And a good morning on a marvelous Monday. We're at 50 degrees at 7:13 in the morning. And I told you earlier we had a special guest coming in. We're honored to have with us State Senator Andrew Jones from District 10 here in our area. Senator Jones, thank you for coming in and being with us.
Thank you, Jerry. Always great to be here at WEIS.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you and pleasure to see you. We appreciate all that you do for the areas that you serve, which covers Cherokee, DeKalb, and, or portion of DeKalb and Etowah. So we're excited about things that are going on. And, of course, some of the things goes on gets to be controversial from time to time. And one of those that have been somewhat controversial, Senate Bill 34 that you introduced this year. You want to tell us about it?
Sure. Well, you know, Jerry, you know, at the end of the day, I work for folks in Cherokee County. And, you know, I'm all for tourism. I'm all for bringing in folks for different things. We've got a lake here. We've got other assets, and we love having tourism. But we can't have tourism that runs over our local residents. And that's how I got involved. About 5 years ago or so, this issue started percolating with Indian Mountain ATV Park. But there are other parks as well around the state, and particularly in Cherokee County, dirt tracks and things that have been going on for some years now. I remember going about I guess it was 4 years ago this spring out to the Rock Run community and having a community meeting on a Saturday morning with about 75 folks out there. And they said, hey, we need some help. And so we worked through the process, talked to the county commission. You know, they had been talking with park owners, trying to forge some sort of middle ground. That bore no fruit. And so I said, okay, well, it's time to take this to the next step, and that's legislation. And so what our bill does is very, very simple. It just requires a permit, and that permit is not expensive. It's a $50 permit to operate. But there are a number of things that are required to get the permit, and all of them are easily attainable. It just requires that the park owners work with the commission, and I'm happy to run through each of those, Jerry, and that's required for the permit. And I've said all along, I challenge folks, read the bill. It's easy to find online. I think you all at WEIS have posted it or a synopsis of it. I don't think anyone can point to anything in this bill that is unreasonable or that's going to shut any park down. This is just some common sense stuff that helps neighbors be good neighbors.
Okay. I noticed that if it's passed, and I think it's in the House committee right now.
That's right.
It's still in the House committee.
That's right.
But if it's passed, it'll be effective in June, and then beginning October 1, that's when the permitting will start. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And, of course, go through the permitting part of it. I know it just applies with the county commission and going in, but it's a little bit more extensive than just going in and applying for a permit and paying the fee.
That's right. So we have to have first, the first thing is a contract for emergency services. You know, Jerry, there have been a number of incidents out there, folks being airlifted. We want to make sure folks are being safe. Part of that includes the second point, which is a detailed map of the park. You know, the tracks included, the access points to public roads, any boundaries in the park, the riding trails, the creeks, the streams, other waterways, and then areas where operations are prohibited. And so one of the reasons we want to know these things are for number three, access points to the track. And we need to know whether those are approved by the commission or not. And this is to really avoid people darting in and out of the roadway in front of traffic and to manage the traffic flow. If you've been down there on a Saturday morning when the park's in operation, you'll see that there's a huge bottleneck. We're talking hundreds and hundreds of people. You know, and you just imagine any small community here. Most folks are familiar with Rock Run. Any small community with little county roads, and all of a sudden you've got, you know, 400, 500, 600, 800 people on a random, you know, Friday or Saturday. It's really going to cause some issues if it's not properly managed. So we want to make sure those crossings and access points are managed. The expected routes to the park, that helps with traffic flow. The estimated acreage of the tracks, the date that any access to the public road will commence, contact information for the park operators, the name and address for the liability insurance carrier. We're up to number nine now. Any certifications or approvals necessary for the park to operate. So that means if there are any other things going on out there, a food truck, a campground, et cetera. They need to show their public health permit or any permits from other departments, such as the law enforcement agency or the EMA or the environmental management department. So just any other thing that would be required under law, they need to be able to show that as part of their permit, which I think is a common sense thing. So that's really it, basically. Those are the things that they have to show, and the county commission, in response to that and issuing the permit, will set some operating hours. This is a huge issue because when you have these ATVs operating at all hours of the night, there's a little church down there, they're operating on Sunday morning during service, there really needs to be quiet hours implemented. Most places around the state do sun up to sundown. I think the park's actual hours say until midnight. A lot of the residents would be happy if they just enforced the actual rules down there and shut things down at midnight, because there are a lot of folks that are running, whenever they want to run. So part of the bill specifies that if any individual is operating outside those quiet hours, then they have a fine that they can be given by law enforcement.
Now you say they. Are you talking about the person operating the ATV or the park owners? Are you going to hold them responsible for someone that gets up in the middle of the night, because they do have campgrounds mm-hmm. down there?
That's right.
And they get up and an operator decides that they want to go ride the trails after midnight. Mm-hmm. Who are you going to hold responsible?
So that's the rider. The rider will be responsible.
Okay.
That will help enforce that situation out there where you've had folks running sometimes at all hours of the night. So there are other things in the bill. The commission can charge a reasonable inspection fee, because they're going to have somebody spend time and effort, or have to take somebody from their day job and have them go out there and look at this stuff and make sure that they're in compliance for the permit. So that's in there as well. And then another key part of the bill, Jerry, is talking about forestry best practices. Okay, what this simply means is we need some erosion control out there. Everybody knows with ATVs you got mud and folks like riding in the mud, but when you have a huge area, I understand it's about 4,000 acres, that's what I've been told, and you have a lot of it that's been clear cut, you have no erosion management in place, and that's going to cause a lot of mud and a lot of things. You got residents down there who have spring fed well water, for example. They have a lot of silt issues because of all the mud down at the park. So we want to make sure that we're controlling that. And that's really lax compared to, any contractor will tell you the amount of hoops they have to jump through when they're building and managing the erosion and the sediment is pretty high.
You see the silt fences up at construction sites.
That's right.
I understand. But what you're saying is you want them to keep the mud and the whatever is created on that acreage, on that 40, I think it's 4,700 acres or so, you want it to stay there.
That's right.
You want it to stay and not, wash out on someone else. You're asking that the regulations keep the silt and the erosion are over. Now, what about the waterways?
So the waterways, it does say that, and the park's own rules say that folks should not be riding in the waterways.
Right.
And so that would be part of it as well. We need to do everything we can to discourage folks from getting in there, because, a lot of folks have been going down there, Hurricane Creek, to fish.
Sure.
A lot of folks I mentioned are on spring-fed well water. And so we need to make sure that we're controlling and managing all that. Part of that, too, is managing private property. You want to make sure that there are barriers in place to prevent these riders from going on to private property nearby and bothering neighbors. So, I think all of those are just very reasonable things. In an ideal situation, if somebody's going to come in the middle of nowhere and open up a park and have hundreds and hundreds of people, most folks would have sat down with the neighbors and said, hey, how can we work together and make this work, manage this? That didn't happen. We've asked, the county commission has asked the owners down there to sit and talk, try to figure things out. That didn't happen. So now we're in an unfortunate place where we need legislation to help keep the peace. And, that's all I'm about, Jerry. we need to have just some reasonable safeguards so that the residents can have harmony and the park can continue to operate. Nobody wants to close the park. Nobody wants to shut the park down. We just want some reasonable guidelines so that we have peace and harmony out there and folks can get along. And it's just it's sad that in this day and age we have to have laws to help keep folks being good neighbors. But that's just where we are.
And of course, this will go into effect June 1, as we said. And of course, you say that this is not going to be harmful to shut the park down. Let me ask you this. One of the things that it permits is, and the bill does, mm-hmm. gives the county commission authority for inspection. And we understand about the inspection points, about the access and the park boundaries. That's, mm-hmm. you know, plats usually will state that,
right.
you know, and things of that nature. And they can furnish those in the diagram. But the inspections, when the inspector goes out there, are they going to be trained in what they're looking for?
Well, I think so. This is the county license inspector, and they're just going to make sure that everything is in compliance. You know, the barriers up, the access points on the roadway are properly managed, and they're the ones that are agreed upon that, you know, folks are not able to go into private property, for example, that all the trails are marked, that all the waterways are to the best ability. Kind of, there's barricades there to keep folks from getting and riding in the waterways. Just those kind of reasonable things. And that would only happen, you know, once a year when the permit is up for renewal. And actually, I have the belief that the county commission could choose to permit them for longer than a year if they wanted to. The bill is very flexible in that regard. But obviously, you know, if they're having constant issues out there, they may want to have the permit continue to be annually until things get under control.
I've attended many of those meetings where the residents around the park have come to the county commission mm-hmm. and complained and asked for assistance and mm-hmm. things of that nature, described their version of what things are like out there on the weekend. And noise has been a huge factor. And that's where you're thinking, according to, if I understand what you were talking about, the quiet hours. Mm-hmm. You think if those are set by the county commission, that will take care of the noise issue.
That's right. And that can be something that the commission, the park owners mutually, you know, agree upon. And there's some talk, you know, they have some special events out there, concerts that go late, and maybe a few times a year you give them the ability to go later than the operating hours if they have some sort of special event. But we just can't have folks at 4 in the morning, Jerry, just running around, you know, 2, 3, 4 in the morning, doing whatever they want out there. We've got to have some regulation.
Okay. Now, I noticed that you're involved also, and proudly so, with the Sweet Trails Alabama. Mm-hmm. Now, does the Sweet Trails Alabama plan have anything to do with the ATV park?
I'm glad, so glad you brought that up, because there's been this conspiracy theory that out there that, you know, that somehow the state wants to take this land and make it part of Sweet Trails Alabama. That couldn't be further from the truth. Sweet Trails Alabama is a plan to link all 67 counties by trail. And part of that master plan maps out all the trail systems in the state. And of course, the one going right through there is the Pinhoti Trail, right?
Yeah.
Which actually, if we have some more regulation out there, and things are better managed, that's going to help the Pinhoti Trail, which eventually some folks want it to be an extension of the Appalachian Trail,
sure,
right, to go all the way down to Flag Mountain.
Sure.
And that's not going to happen if you have ATVs darting all in and out of it. So in some ways, this would actually help, you know, the regulation would help elevate the status of that trail. But there is no intention to do anything in terms of that. It's just simply the master plan for Sweet Trails mapped everything in the state. And what do you got trail-wise that's major? You got all the biking trails, and you've got, you know, the Singing River Trail in North Alabama, the Red Rock Trail. You've got the Pinhoti Trail, the Chief Ladaiga. I mean, those are on there because they're the major ones that exist.
Right. So. Now, the Pinhoti Trail, if I understand correctly, is hiking.
That's
you
right.
You know, that's rough hiking.
That's right.
Mountainous terrain.
That's
and
right.
Things like that. So you've got to be a good hiker to withstand very many miles.
That's right.
Is my understanding.
Right.
Now, the Chief Lanaga Trail is a paved trail, mm-hmm. bicycle and walking.
That's right.
Right. But no motorized vehicles.
That's right.
Allowed on it. I noticed on your Sweet Trails Alabama, it has allowances there in the future to develop trails for OHV or off-highway vehicles.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And ATVs.
That's right.
And things like that. So are these trails that are out there now, are the plans with Sweet Trails Alabama to expand the hiking trails to become motorized trails?
Well, not necessarily. What we want to do is take some trails that may exist in certain parts of the state. We actually have some public ATV type parks that are overseen by Division of State Parks and Conservation and Natural Resources that allow people to get on there. So we're not talking about anything privately owned. We're talking about publicly owned assets and being able to develop those. But the goal, you know, is we have different types of trail. In general, they do not intermingle. You know, you don't have a biking trail and a horse trail be the same for obvious
right.
for obvious reasons. It's similar with ATV trails and other types of trails. You want to, you know, keep those for the most part separate. So basically, you know, the primary thing we're focusing on is walking and biking, like the Chief Ladaga Trail, and connecting that to other walking and biking trails, because those generally are bringing in the most tourists to the state. Because folks, you know, the idea of biking from Atlanta to Anniston over 100 miles is very attractive to a lot of folks.
And the scenery along that trail is absolutely breathtaking.
Yeah, it's a rail trail conversion. You know, rail trail conversions are generally always walking and biking.
Yes, and that one is. But we are blessed with trails in the area. Mm-hmm. And we want to make sure that we preserve them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're seeking to do, is my understanding.
That's right.
And getting back to the regulations, this also does not concern the expansion of what Senator Tuberville and Representative Mike Rogers seeks to expand the Talladega National Forest.
No, I've looked at those maps. I believe that expansion is not even in the area of the park. It's further south. So that's just designed because you've got, I think it's 15 miles of the Penhodie that folks have to walk alongside a road. And that's not ideal for safety reasons. And just, it's not, nobody, you know, going to enjoy a hike where you're walking down a road. You'd rather just be in nature. So that expansion was done to fix those 15 miles. Where the trails alongside the road and make it more enjoyable.
Okay. Now, we know that we're about out of time, but one thing I want you to address is got a lot of pushback on social media
mm-hmm.
about the bill, and a lot of people, a lot of accusations and a lot mm-hmm. of things out there. Your comments to those people that have been harsh about the bill on Facebook?
Well, I would just, again, encourage folks to read the bill for themselves. There's nothing in there that's going to shut a business down or you know, put folks out of business. We just need to have neighbors being good neighbors. And again, you know, a lot of the pushback, Jerry, just to be frank, they don't even live here. They live outside of the county, or they live in Georgia in many cases. This type of activity that's going on out at Indian Mountain is not allowed in Georgia. You can't do it anywhere in the state because they've cracked down. And so what's happened? All those folks who enjoy getting in the creeks and, you know, doing all this stuff, they've all come to Alabama. We're glad to have their money and their tourism, but they've got to abide by some reasonable regulations. And everything we've got here is less strict, I think, than what Georgia does. So look, there's always going to be some Facebook warriors that are kind of looking for something to get stirred up, and there are always folks that are going to be trying to find some conspiracy theory. The truth is, 4.5 years ago, 75 residents met with me on a Saturday morning and said, we need help. And it's taken this long to get everybody on the same page and to get the momentum to get them that help. But people don't realize government is slow sometimes. But ultimately, I answer to the folks in my district that live here in this community, not the tourists. And so that's, you know, when there's a controversy, I'm always going to try to help my local residents. So, and I'll say this, Jerry, you know, the bill, the county commission passed a unanimous resolution of support for this bill. They've done their job. I got it out of the Senate. I've done my job, and now you know, Representative Shaver committed to me on the bill before I even started advertising it. And so now I'm calling on her to uphold her commitment and get it out of the House.
Okay, good deal. One, a couple more things, a couple of points there. Well, we've known that, according to reports, the ATV park here in Cherokee County generates about $15 million a year in economic development and economic resources for the general area. And also, there's no reason that you or the county government would want to shut down a thriving tourism.
No, not at all, not at all. And a lot of folks don't realize what an economic impact is, Jerry, and I'm going to be brief on this, but a lot of folks think they're generating $15 million out there.
That's economic development.
Yeah, folks, if they spend the night or if they buy an ATV here or if they, you know, buy gas or what, all of that's included. And a lot of these economic impact studies are paid for by the person who, you know, has the place that they want the study for. And some of those numbers can be a little inflated from time to time. I'm not saying this one is or is not. End of the day, we know it generates revenue. We know it brings in tourism. And I want to do everything that I can to keep that happening and find a middle ground. Ultimately, I think we can do both. We can keep the park operating, keep the tourists coming, but we can keep the residents happy as well.
I noticed on the Sweet Trails, Alabama, there's several ATV parks across the state.
That's right.
And but this one here in Cherokee County, mm-hmm. if I read it correctly, is the largest one that I see listed, is with over 4,000 acres. There's some with 2,000, mm-hmm. some with 1,500, and things like that. But this one seems to be the largest in the state.
Well, I'm not sure what sheets you've got there, but I will say that everything on Sweet Trails, Alabama is public.
Yeah.
We don't typically include nothing private is included on our state map. So that's probably why it's not on there.
Yeah, but it's listed there, okay. Right there on the bottom.
Yeah, other. Yeah,
yeah, under, it says other parks.
Other, yeah, that's why.
And it lists Indian Mountain ATV Park, mm-hmm. as, you know, part of the ATV assets, I'm assuming.
Right, that's yeah. right.
Anything else that you want to leave that we haven't covered, Senator?
Well, I think we've done a pretty thorough job of getting to the bottom of it. Again, you know, I just tell folks, don't believe everything you read. Go and read it for yourself. And no one yet has pointed anything they can tell me that is just flat out unreasonable, is going to close anyone down. So that's my ask. Folks, just read it for themselves.
It's on. You can pull it up.
That's right.
On the website. You can go to the state website, pull it up. We did. We have a copy of it in hand that I'm holding now.
Yep.
And you can, it's easily, it's a short bill. It's yep. not complicated.
No.
And it doesn't have a lot of legalese, so to speak.
That's
in
right.
it, so that simple people like me can understand it.
That's right.
You know, so thank you again for your time coming in.
Yeah, thank you, Jerry. I appreciate you helping cover this. I know a lot of folks have been asking about it, want to know what's going on. And so, you know, ultimately, that little corner of the county is far removed from everything else, and so a lot of folks don't know what's going on out there because it's kind of worlds away, so to speak. And so I'm glad to help shine a light on the issue.
Well, thank you so very much. Senator Andrew Jones, State Senate number 10, or in District 10. We appreciate him. I know you guys are going to be in session tomorrow.
That's right.
And got to get back to Montgomery.
That's right. Heading back, and we'll get back in it.
Thank you, Andrew. Have a great day.
For all your tire needs, Gary.